Vibrational medicine, electromedicine, energy medicine has many names and takes many forms. Just 15 years ago, almost no one had heard of vibrational medicine. That name was obviously throwing them off because the concept of healing the body using frequencies is as old as the hills, literally. This is your host, Carol Kepler, with guest Dr. Richard Gerber on a topic about which he's written three books. The first, Vibrational Medicine, New Choices for Healing Ourselves. This is a very special show for me today. It's about healing the body without cutting, burning, or poisoning it. And if that isn't exciting enough, there's more. Online from Livonia, Michigan, medical doctor and author Richard Gerber. Good morning, Dr. Gerber.
Good morning, Carol.
I'm glad you're here. And we do thank you for joining us today. You wrote your very first book, the one we're talking about today. You wrote that about 18 years ago when you were just 33.
Mm-hmm.
You must have just finished medical school. I just have one question. How did you manage that?
Well, it certainly was a challenge, I will give you that. I kind of actually had an interest in things vibrational and energy healing while I was going through medical school. But unfortunately, most of my medical professors really didn't have the answers I was looking for. So I ended up having to kind of create my own alternative medical education as I was going through medical school and later my residency. And so actually, I kind of came up with the idea for writing the book when I was completing my residency, and suddenly some of the pieces of the puzzle started making more sense. So I figured I would try to communicate some of that to other people, and that kind of resulted in the book.
So my real question is, you were years ahead of your time with research on healing the body using vibrations, and so you had made that decision in medical school to do that. How did you come up with such a far-out concept?
Well, I had been exposed to some types of healing modalities. I was especially impressed with acupuncture. In the early 1970s, my grandfather had been diagnosed with metastatic bladder cancer that had spread to the bone, and he was having tremendous pain. Mm. And most of the conventional narcotic painkillers were just giving him too many side effects, so that he was in horrible pain at the time. And this was right after Richard Nixon had come back from China, and so acupuncture was becoming quite popular. And at that time in Chicago at Weiss Memorial Hospital, my mother made inquiries and found out that the head of anesthesiology actually had trained in acupuncture in China. So he came to my grandfather's bedside and did acupuncture, and I kind of watched this rather mysterious procedure going on. And it was the first time he was totally pain-free in months and slept wonderfully, and I was so impressed with this procedure that I started to read more about acupuncture and the idea of chi and life energy, that it really kind of got me thinking about this until I finally started medical school in the mid-70s. I had all of these burning questions about how these types of non-invasive healing modalities fit in with the bigger picture, and unfortunately, they didn't have the answers in medical school I was looking for.
So what is exactly your definition of vibrational medicine?
Well, vibrational medicine is what you call energy medicine, essentially, and I think it's basically the diagnosis and treatment of different forms of illness using various forms and frequencies of energy, and that covers a wide spectrum from anywhere from electromagnetic healing modalities, which include what actually we're doing in conventional medicine today. For instance, you go to a physical therapy department, and they might give you a TENS device that uses electrical stimulation to help tune away pain. You might go to your psychiatrist for the winter blues, and they have you sit in front of a light box because now full-spectrum light is being used for treating depression. Ultrasound, obviously, has been used for years. We've been using pacemakers as electrical therapy. And so there is some familiarity. Obviously, lasers, too, have come into play. But the wider spectrum involves not just the conventional use of energy, but what I would call life force energy or subtle energy, and those involve the types of therapies that are considered the field of complementary and alternative medicine, which includes acupuncture, homeopathy, things like flower essences and light and even magnetic fields, magnets for healing. And So these are all the different spectrum of how you can use energy to non-invasively heal the body.
So people are just not getting it. I know the more scientific a person is, the energy aspect doesn't really vibrate with their good word, with their thinking and their reality. They just don't get it.
Well, it's kind of funny because vibrational medicine for me really is an extension of the latest discoveries in quantum physics and Einsteinian physics that tell us that when you look at what we are made up of, I mean, aside from the, you know, flesh and muscle and bone, which you see with the naked eye, if you get down to the very micro world level of what our atoms and neutrons and protons are made up of, is that we're really just kind of patterns of frozen energy and light. And so if you take that into consideration, then it isn't as far a leap to think about trying to influence the body with something other than a hammer, you know, of surgery and drug therapy and some of the more toxic approaches, but some of the more elegant solutions of using certain types of energy to work with what the basic structure of what we're made up of. If this is actually something that's now considered, you know, state of the art in science and physics as far as an understanding of what matter is made up of, but that message never got into the world of medicine and biology. And there are actually a group of leading-edge physicians that are starting to approach this appreciation for the use of energy, and that we are more than just, you know, the physical body, so to speak. That this, even the idea that there is a such thing as a spirit and a soul, is slowly making its way into modern medicine.
And it hasn't yet been taught at the level of medical school.
It actually is. In leading-edge medical schools, at my medical school at Wayne State in Detroit, where I attended med school, I was considered probably a little more far out by some of my students and professors, but it was kind of a sweet revenge for me to become an invited guest lecturer there for 8 years in a row at their complementary and alternative medicine program, and became one of their more favorite lecturers. So there are many medical schools around the country that are now starting to teach the fourth year medical students on some of these healing modalities, although it's in the minority yet, it is starting to make its way into the medical education system.
Well, that's exciting, and I think I have heard somewhere along the line that when it finally comes in, it will be because all of the older people who didn't believe it are gone.
Basic philosophy is that if you look at the so-called clash of paradigms and worldviews, I think what ultimately happens is that all of the critics of the new thinking basically die off.
Yes.
And so the ones who are left are that it's not that far out, and they kind of wonder, well, what was all the hubbub about?
Isn't that amazing? So in your book, you spend a great deal of time discussing what you just mentioned, Einsteinian theory and Newtonian. And we certainly know the names, Einstein and Newton. So what do they have to do with energy medicine?
Well, the two quintessential models of it's interesting that we should be talking about this. They just had a program last night on NOVA on the secret life of Sir Isaac Newton, who's the one that created Newtonian physics. And it turned out Newton was actually much more of a mystic than most scientists cared to believe. He was really into studying the subtle forces behind nature. It's just that what he's remembered for is the creation of a mathematical system of looking at the world to explain how things work almost as a grand clockwork machine. And so most modern medicine is based on the idea of body as a biomechanism. In the old days, it was really more of looking in terms of gears and pulleys and things like that, but we've become much more sophisticated nowadays, and so now we're looking at the gears at the molecular level of molecular biology and how different molecules fit into various cell receptors, but it's still the body as a machine. There is no life force or soul in the mechanistic viewpoint of Newtonian kind of medicine, if you will.
Can be fixed.
Well, the basic way of fixing things in terms of conventional Newtonian medicine is if you have a disease, it's basically either because you've got a broken part,
mm-hmm.
in which case you're going to do surgery and take that out, the bad part, or if it's a blocked artery, you go in and you put in a metal stent and you open it up, or if it's a broken bone, you go in and you use hammers and screws and nails and kind of fix it, or if it's a tumor, you take that out. Or in the more elegant case of drug therapy, now we're starting to target drugs that bind to specific receptors in the body and target certain systems, but it's still working with just finer and finer hammers and nails and saws to try to cut out the bad piece, or in some cases, we're trying to replace defective components, as in the case of someone who's a diabetic. We now have recombinant DNA technology to let us make human DNA and bacteria, so we're replacing the missing machine part, the insulin. But in Einsteinian kind of thinking, the body is more than the machine. It's a biomechanism that also is fed energy and information by these other energy systems, and some of these include the acupuncture meridian system, things called the chakras. And so in Einsteinian or vibrational medicine, you try to feed corrective information and vibrational programs to the body in such a way as to help it move back into a state of healing.
Wow. But that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
The old way with the new way coming in, and that's why they don't understand the energy concept, because they have been brought up on the Newtonian, materialistic, mechanistic, maybe I should say, way of dealing with the body.
Exactly.
So they just have to die out so we can get going more with the vibrational aspect.
Well, we're slowly convincing the leading edge of thinkers, but there's still a lot of skeptics out there.
There certainly are. So how would you explain what the body's energy field is? What is an energy field?
Well, an energy field is kind of a nebulous term to most people. I mean, there are if you look at from the Einsteinian perspective of the human body, we are literally fields within fields within fields. There's the structure of our body itself is actually a frozen energy field in the shape of certain molecules and atoms of how they fit together. Now, we know on one sense, when you have a moving electrical charge, it creates that current creates a magnetic field. And so we now know, for instance, they have such things as magnetocardiograms and magnetoencephalograms that measure the biomagnetic energies that are generated by the flow of ions and electrical impulses in, say, the heart or the brain. And we use those for diagnosing heart and brain disorders and seizures. So that's one level of energy field. It's a result of cellular activity. On another level, which is the one that modern science has a harder time with, there are these other information-bearing energy fields, such as the etheric body, mm-hmm. which is a duplicate of the physical body, but it seems to contain all of the patterns of where the cells are supposed to go. It appears to be a guide to how the developing cells in an embryo, for instance, know where the head's supposed to be and the toes, and where everybody gets to the right place in the body as the embryo develops.
And so if someone wants to pick up your book, Vibrational Medicine Today, the very first book that you wrote, all of that is in there, and there's a whole lot more to it. We're going to have to take a little break. That music is telling us that we have a break coming up. So more about vibrational medicine when we return. This is Carol Kepler, and we've been talking with Dr. Richard Gerber about vibrational medicine. Before break, we were talking about the body's energy fields. So I have a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
How can working with the human energy field aid the healing process?
It
seems, well, so nebulous.
So your question is how do you do
it? How can the human, working with that human energy field, aid the healing process? What is the interplay?
Well, I think part of what happens with the different energy systems and energy fields that integrate with the human body is they're providing energy and information to the body. And if you accept the idea, for instance, that we have this etheric body system, and there is actually some evidence, for instance, that there is such an invisible energy body. There's some evidence from Kirlian photography, which is an energy field type of electrical photography method, that they've been able to take pictures of, for instance, leaves, that when they cut off the upper third of the leaf, that the image, the final image that's developed, shows an intact leaf, including the part that was just cut off and destroyed. It's called the phantom leaf effect. This was discovered in Russia and has since been replicated in the United States, but the idea is that what you're seeing in this phantom image in there is this invisible energy body that contains this kind of information. And one of the things we're beginning to find out is that it's very possible that disease may first start at the level of disordered information at this energy field level. So if you can pick up on whether or not there are patterns of distortion in the information that's being fed to the organs of the body, you can pick up not only on illness at an early state before someone has severe symptoms or some of the blood tests become wildly abnormal, you may have an opportunity to actually heal the body before the person becomes significantly ill with fixed disease.
Uh-huh. And that's what I do as a health intuitive. I can pick up the energy at low levels, mm-hmm. and I use the energy fields from 1 to 9 or 10, and I can tell when they're at low energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you're right. It is easy then to get in and clean up the entire body and have those numbers raised. We go all the way to homeostasis. So mm-hmm. I am so glad you just validated what we just are doing.
Well, it turns out the human body has a number of energy receptor systems. The one we mentioned briefly is the chakras. But human beings are sensitive to these energy fields to a different degree. People like yourself have become more finely attuned, and there are methods that people can learn to train to become more sensitive, to try to quantitate the information they're getting about these energy fields, and you just carried it to a very high degree.
And actually what we have discovered is that once the cells are cleansed, purified, that you are so absolutely in tune, it's incredible. Most people come on at about 90% intuitive, and with cleansing can get to be 99%. How about that? And what we figured is only God's 100%, so we're doing pretty good. If a person came to me who was on meds and, say, chemo, could energy medicine or energy devices be used along with conventional medical therapies that they might be using?
Oh, certainly. Depending on the type of treatment you're talking about. Now, some of the more toxic therapies, like chemotherapy, do impair the body's own immune response, and sometimes you may not get the most optimal treatment when someone is on a more toxic form of therapy, but I really believe that the future lies more in what we would call integrative medicine, which is using the best of both worlds of conventional with the energy medicine to assist it. For instance, if I had somebody who had a ruptured aortic aneurysm, I would not be doing vibrational medicine on them primarily. I might throw a few drops of rescue remedy under their tongue while I sent them to a cardiovascular surgeon.
Very good.
So, I mean, our medicine today is very good for treating acute trauma, and you can use the vibrational things with that, but what modern medicine is not so good at is the chronic illness of modern society, and I think that's where complementary, alternative, and vibrational therapies are really beginning to show that they can come up with solutions for people that the system has failed for.
And that's what we call, what you just suggested, is diseases that end up, or health challenges that end up at core. And so we can go in and pick up a reading at core of, and that would be a root cause of a problem. And then it's the same thing, though. Vibrational cleansing at the cellular level will get at core. when mm-hmm. I see a lot of medical things don't reach the core level mm-hmm. to be able to clear, neutralize at that level.
Right. They work at a very superficial level.
So in Western medicine, the subtle energy system of the human body is not very well understood. So, in fact, in many cases, it isn't even recognized at all, and therefore people don't have the opportunity to try out these wonderful things that that we're hearing about today. So you talked about different ways that frequencies can be transferred to the cells mm-hmm. in your book, cells that you are calling discordant mm-hmm. frequencies?
Yes. I mean, there are different ways of supplying the corrective healing program, so to speak. I mean, one way you might think of this is in terms of information. One of the models I've been working with is what's called the bioinformational model, the idea that our systems are actually being regulated by biological information. And so if you think about information flow in systems and in a disease of how you would heal somebody vibrationally using this informational model, think about a computer virus model, okay? You have your computer is running fine, and then suddenly you get this email attachment that makes your computer sick. The hard drive starts crashing, things are running slow, something's going on, so you obviously need to go to a computer doctor
right.
to have your computer healed. And what they do is they reboot your system. They purge all of these dysfunctional software instructions. What a virus does when it gets in the body is it takes over the cell's normal system by injecting its own informational instructions to turn cells into little virus-producing factories instead of what they're supposed to be doing. And so what the computer healing essentially does is you purge these discordant or dysfunctional kind of information software instructions, and then you reboot the system with the corrective programs. In human illness, what we may be doing with different vibrational therapies like what you've been using, homeopathic remedies, flower essences, and even acupuncture and other things, is by providing the correct bioinformational healing signals to the body, it may be able to provide information, activation energy that corrects the abnormal information a loop that's going around creating the illness and reprograms it with the correct software, so to speak.
In homeopathics, Hahnemann said that like clears or heals like.
Mm-hmm.
And with the water frequencies that we use, what we see is that they neutralize. When mm-hmm. we put in a frequency, it neutralizes, a positive mm-hmm. frequency neutralizes the negative frequency.
Well, if you're dealing pure energetically, you can think of it as one way of canceling out another.
Yes.
In other ways, what you may be doing with providing the correct healing frequency is, if you think about the human body as being like a wine glass, that all matter resonates or vibrates at a certain key frequency. You have the Memorex commercial where Ella Fitzgerald sings and shatters the glass
yes.
as she hits the resonant note. That's a form of destructive resonance, but basically resonance is this transfer of energy because you've hit the right note of what the body's vibrating at. In the same sense, the human body, when we're ill, may be vibrating at a certain frequency, and if you could just get enough of that frequency to the body to get it to push it through the hump of activation energy, it could throw off the toxicity of illness. And I think in some cases that may be what we're doing with the correct homeopathic frequency matching or vibrational medicine matching, is that we're providing the frequency and the energy the body needs to discharge the toxicity of the illness.
Yes, and so difficult to wrap your mind around this mm-hmm. modern type of energy medicine. I think one of the problems is that there's really no way to measure, or at least there have not been ways of measuring. Did I understand that within the last few years that homeopathics that have never been able to be measured because the frequencies are so high, that there are ways to measure the homeopathics now?
Well, there's been a lot of research on trying to validate whether or not homeopathy really works. And because the kind of energies we're dealing with may be so subtle that, I mean, there are actually people who've done what's called NMR spectroscopy, which is like a magnetic resonance spectroscopy, and seen specific signatures. There are people using quantitative Kirlian photography images to show that there is a difference in potentized homeopathic solutions versus just blank water solutions. What you have to understand in homeopathy is that the so-called microdoses or dilutions of the remedies are so dilute, they don't probably even contain any molecules of the original substance used to create them. But by virtue of this potentization process where you constantly dilute and succuss and create this homeopathic remedy, what we're doing, I believe, is kind of extracting the gross physical matter of the herb or plant you started with, and what you're doing is you're extracting into water the pure vibrational signature. And so, although it may be difficult to measure the energy directly, there have been clinical studies and also laboratory and animal studies showing that homeopathic remedies have a measurable effect on biological systems, so that we have indirect evidence that there actually is something happening. And some of the newer vibrational medicine diagnostic equipment goes to interface with, for instance, the acupuncture meridians of the body to look for specific resonance reactions with what the right frequency remedy is. And classical homeopathic prescribing may just be this kind of empirical frequency matching by trying to match the patient's symptom complex with what the symptoms associated with the remedy are, this, you know, the like cures like kind of thing, which is not far off from conventional immunization using a weakened version of a virus to immunize somebody against the flu, for instance. So we are actually getting closer to measuring some of the frequencies involved, but it's so subtle that we have to go for indirect evidence right now.
Yes, like people getting well.
Yes.
That's pretty indirect. It reminds me of I would say probably 5 or 7 years ago, I had a young physicist whose little 3-year-old son had a tumor in his stomach, quite large, and he had already gotten the child started, or they had, on chemo, and when they had heard about the water formulas, and they started those at the same time, which, by the way, works very well. And I can remember after the child's tumor shrank very quickly, he called and asked if he could test the water formulas that we were using. And I liked what he said. He got back on the phone sometime later and said, "I have 3 baffled physicists standing here." He said, "They see unique and measurable frequencies in this water. How did you get them in there?"
Interesting.
And so he had used 3 different devices, and I only remember one. It was, and you mentioned it, the NMRI, nuclear magnetic resonance imaging device.
Well, it's a form of magnetic resonance. It's called spectroscopy. Instead of getting a visual image, it creates a kind of a plot, a distribution of a curve on paper. But it's very distinct in being able to look at specific molecules and what they're normally supposed to look like. So you must have injected some frequencies there into the water that they weren't expecting to see.
Yes. I can remember early on, we had a formula with 40. It was a detox formula, water-based detox formula, and it had 40 frequencies imprinted in it or programmed into it. And I can remember the chemist who was making those for us. He said, "We're really pushing it. Right now, we have our maintenance formula has over 2,000 frequencies programmed into it." And I talked with a scientist about that, and he said, "You know, there probably is no limit." Isn't that intriguing?
Well, you know, I think actually we probably are ignoring the fact that our bodies are made up of mostly water, and what we're beginning to find is actually it's probably not the drugs binding to the receptors in our body that's triggering the effect. It's the electromagnetic signal that the drugs are carrying that have their effect even before they can reach the receptor. And so the idea of carrying frequencies in water is probably the natural means of communication in the body, aside from all of the normal chemical information signals, that these energetic signals are going on throughout structured water, throughout the body all the time.
And there's the body is, what, 85, I hear anywhere from 75 to 95% water.
Yes, and we're bags of mostly water.
And there's an entrainment. We had a scientist on the program some time ago. He said that there is entrainment going on. So when you drink the water and through the lining of the mouth are read the frequencies that the body needs, and these frequencies are instantly broadcast to every cell in the body, the entrainment begins to work, and, mm-hmm. and there's the transfer of the energies into the body so that the body can start to heal. I think that is so neat. There's so much more that we need to learn about this, is there not?
Definitely.
Well, I hear our music again, and that's telling us we have to come to another break. And we'll be right back with our special guest, Dr. Richard Gerber, a medical doctor and author of 3 books. Stay tuned. When you have learned about vibrational medicine, there's a whole change in your feeling about the body and about wellness. We've been talking with Dr. Richard Gerber, who is an author and a medical doctor. I guess a medical doctor first and then an author. And we are really intrigued by Dr. Gerber's take on healing the body. So, Dr. Gerber, when you write about vibrational healing and holistic medicine, you call them emerging medicine, and that's a very interesting term. What will this future medicine be like?
Well, I think we're in the beginnings of developing some of the technology that will actually measure the energy fields of the body to really take images of what the human energy system looks like. Especially the etheric body, for instance. You know, everybody knows about MRI now, magnetic resonance imaging, but that same principle that's used in Kirlian photography, which involves a certain resonance with the body, I think we will make whole body kind of Kirlian imaging systems. And in addition, we'll start using more of these diagnostic type of tools that can measure the energy and information of the different organ systems of the body using the acupuncture meridian system interface, because it carries the life energy patterns and information going to the different organs of the body. So ultimately, if we start using all these technologies, which, by the way, are being used quite successfully already in Eastern Europe and Russia,
naturally,
we will begin to be able to have the ultimate preventative medicine, where not only, I think, will we have more success in treating a lot of the chronic illnesses of modern society, but you may be able to go to the doctor's office and find out what kind of energy patterns might be heading you in the direction of potential illness down the road, and then being able to correct those patterns through simple things, not only vibrational, but just diet changes, exercise, lifestyle, changes in your attitude, because your emotions also play into this whole role of energy patterns in the body. So there are all these different things that one can do to try to not only become healthy, but ultimately where everybody's kind of headed now is the focus on how can we prolong life and do that with the highest possible quality possible. You know, it's not just a question of living to 100. If you live to 100 and you feel like you're 150, then what's the use? But if you've lived to 90 and you feel like you're 45, then that's the trick.
Actually, I see that, and it's very understandable, very logical, that if you can get everything cleaned up in the body, then mm-hmm. you won't be getting sick and you won't be breaking down and dying before your time.
Right.
And
right,
so, go ahead.
There's so many preventable types of things that we could be doing, and unfortunately, people aren't aware of the fact that there are just so many stresses in the environment. I mean, aside from emotional stress, we're living in an environment that our ancestors didn't have in terms of electromagnetic pollution, the amount of chemical and contaminants in the environment. We have various antibiotics and in the beef supply and hormones and the air we breathe. So it's a stressful place to live nowadays. So a lot of people just don't really think about that. And I think we're going to see an increasing importance of even simple things as nutritional supplements and herbal things. And even modern medicine is just starting to awaken to that. But vibrational medicine is on the cutting edge. I really agree that that really is where the future lies. Because one thing I just wanted to throw in is that it not only is an awareness of how these energy fields affect our health, but they ultimately help us to explain why people become ill, not just because of toxic exposure, but because there's a vibrational connection with our emotions and how systems in the body develop specific areas of weakness. And so this is something that will help us to understand even the concept of where spirit integrates with this whole pattern of energy fields in the body and human health.
So prevention is a big part of that, and you were just mentioning all of the things that could affect the body that people are not thinking about.
Right.
And we have, I've done a lot of reading in with the work of Dr. Robert O. Becker and his Body Electric, and he talks about the repair loop. And so what we have done is we have been able to take a look at the repair loop, quote-unquote, and we have found out that there are four things that damage the repair loop and put a ceiling on how well we can get, and you just mentioned them. Mm-hmm. Body trauma was one. Mm-hmm. Synthetic toxins was another. Mm-hmm. Chaotic electric. And emotions, traumatic emotions.
Right.
Because the body either accumulates or remembers these things and mm-hmm. and keeps it from getting well. So that looks like a real good basis for clearance with vibrational medicine. You have to be clearing the body at the vibrational level in this case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately modern medicine tends to look too much to the superficial level. They basically only go where people complain of problems, and part of that is because of the economical and financial limits of the system today that doctors don't have time to spend this, you know, with patients to really find out what's really happening in their lives. It's become too superficial an intervention, which is why I think that there is a flourishing of complementary and alternative medicine, because a lot of patients have become dissatisfied with the system that they're stuck with, and especially if they're not getting better with just the simple types of drug therapies that are being recommended, they're looking for answers elsewhere. And all you need is to have one simple experience with vibrational medicine, even just a first aid homeopathic remedy. And regardless of what your intellectual bias might have been, if you see something happening positively health-wise with your body, it's going to open your eyes that this is a whole possibility that can be explored.
Like the man that was diabetic for 4 years, and he got well using the vibrational frequency formulas that we use with Better Water Base. Mm-hmm. And he wrote us a letter and said that his doctor, that the new doctor that he had gone to, said, you don't have diabetes, mm-hmm. and you never did. And the man said, oh, but I did. I had it for 4 years. So it is amazing. It does work. And I think people are very appreciative. I think there's a fear factor there, mm-hmm. in leaving the medical and going to something as something that you can't put your finger on, that you can't see, mm-hmm. you can't detect, except that if you have the experience, it is a big part of your change in mindset. And so we're just very grateful mm-hmm. that there are such things out there now. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help, because without your first two books 12 years ago, we would not have had the language that we needed even to explain to people about what we were doing, working with the Liquid Health System. And I have to tell you, I actually wore out my first copy of that first book, Vibrational Medicine. I have it on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get along without it highlighted, underlined, annotated, and falling apart. And I wouldn't give it up for the world, because we couldn't even understand the concept at all, and so we couldn't present it to the people mm-hmm. so that they would even be willing to try it. And there's really nothing much out there. So then you came along with your second book, which I also appreciated because it was one that was written for the layperson, and I could understand that one. And so you have now a third edition.
Right. Well, they've re-released the first book as Vibrational Medicine, the number one guide to subtle energy medicine. It has kind of a new index as well as a new foreword. So in essence, I've actually really only written two books. They've been updated. I do have a tape series out called Exploring Vibrational Medicine for people who are less likely to read but rather would listen to books on tape. But
oh, I like that. And where do we find that?
You can get the books actually through Amazon.com as well as the tape series. It's called Exploring Vibrational Medicine.
Okay. And do you have a website?
My website is piggybacked onto through a website called healingpeople.com.
Okay.
And on the section, if you go under modalities, it lists various things like chiropractic, acupuncture, and then at the bottom it says other modalities.
Your other.
There, I'm in the miscellaneous category of other, and there are various descriptions and little essays on vibrational medicine and acupuncture and life energy and homeopathy, and people can get a better taste of what this means. And there are links to where they can get on to Amazon to get copies of the book if they want to find out more.
Well, we'll just have to have you back because there is a whole lot more to learn. And what you call vibrational medicine, we call energy medicine. So we thank you so very much for helping us understand a little bit better about this amazing concept. It is definitely forces us into a paradigm shift in thinking, does it not?
Oh, definitely.
So thank you again for getting the books out there for the general public. Your timing was impeccable.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Next week, our show falls on Thanksgiving, and if you're not eating turkey at 11 o'clock Pacific time, take time out to listen to Burton Goldberg on cancer treatments being used across the Atlantic. The special report is The Big C, Better Ways to Beat Cancer, next Thursday. Our thought for the day is from many of the profound truths from Dr. Gerber's first book, Vibrational Medicine, New Choices for Healing Ourselves, and he said, vibrational medicine, as the science of the future, may contain clues which will help doctors solve the mystery of why some people remain healthy while others are continuously in a state of disease. This is Carol Kepler, your host on Energy Medicine Today. Our virtual classroom, when we get to meet and learn from some of the most incredible people in the field of future health and healing, all cutting-edge information. We are way ahead of the game. Check us out at energymedicinetoday.com. That's three words, energymedicinetoday.com. Or call our new toll-free number that works, 800-971-4458. Let me do that again, 800-971-4458. And blessings until we meet again.